Welcome in, everyone, here to another season of Who's Gonna Win here on KJN, brought to you by Anishinaabe Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates. We've got the regular suspects back in here with us again this year. Jim Field, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullinex, let's try that again, and myself, Chris Parks.
Wait a second, time out. You didn't introduce me properly.
I didn't introduce you properly?
No, you should have said defending champion.
Oh, yes.
Jim Field.
Yes, I was getting to that.
There you go.
You didn't give me much time.
Because it doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't. I'm going to relish this.
Yes, yes. Thanks to the Iowa Hawkeyes, Jim Field is your champion last year, as he won it on the tiebreak. Myself and Jim were both 56-24, and 54-26 for Matt, and 49-31 for Doug last season. So that's how the last trail panned out here for us.
But not a very successful season for me, but I do know that now that you have this nice plaque up on the wall that you had the worst season in the last 10 years or 15 years, and you still won.
For a winner.
The lowest number of wins.
You know, sometimes the wild card wins the World Series.
That's true. Hopefully the Cubs aren't a wild card this year.
And the Super Bowl and everything else.
Nice job, though.
Hey, all that matters is his name's on the plaque.
I know.
It's the old saying, I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just have to run faster than the three of you guys.
Well, we'll see how we can do it here this season. We've got, of course, 8 games that we'll take a look at here in week number one. We've got some pretty good matchups here in week number one this season, so we'll dive right into them here in just a moment. We'll get to our first games after this from Anishinaabe Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates.
The Anishinaabe Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Anishinaabe Valley Credit Union. The Anishinaabe Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Anishinaabe Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, for Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
And welcome in here to week number one of Who's Gonna Win. Let's get right after it. We've got a couple of 8-man football games here to start things off, and one of those is a name of a team that you don't expect to hear in 8-man football, and that is the Audubon Wheelers, as they drop down to 8-man play here this year, and they will be going just down the road, down Highway 71, to take on Exira EHK. And I guess we'll let our defending champion get us started here this season. Jim, what do you think here about this matchup of teams that probably don't like each other a whole lot?
I still don't know what to think about Audubon playing 8-man football. They used to be a Class 2A team. How in the world did they get small enough to be able to play 8-man football? But, you know, they had a terrific season last year with a real strong ground game in the backfield and a really good young player in the Reboff kid. Boy, they lost a lot of those kids, though. Reboff, the gentleman is back, but they lost a lot of their other athletes that really were impact players for them. Exira EHK has just had a great run of success here. They're a playoff team darn near every year, and in some of those cases, they've been able to make deep runs into the playoffs. This is a tough one because it's going to be a
slobber knocker.
Yeah, it's if ever there was a rivalry, this would be it. It's an inside the county matchup. Exira has always been looked upon as the smaller community, so the smaller school, the little brother, I guess you could say, of Audubon. But I think sometimes the little brother gets the best of the big brother. I kind of like Exira EHK. I think they just have a little bit more coming back, a few more of their impact players coming back from last year. So I'm going to go with Exira EHK here in this one.
All right, that's one for the Spartans. Doug, what do you think?
Well, it is nice. Nice game to see. Boy, this would be an intense game for the teams, obviously, and the fans, I'm sure, are going to turn out in droves tonight. You know, Audubon does have a nice returning quarterback, you know, in Reboffs. Got, I think, 16 touchdowns versus only 6 interceptions. So definitely some experience throwing the ball. They've got another Smith kid coming in, Trevor Smith's younger brother, Nolan, apparently is going to be a running back for the Wheelers. You know, on the other side of the coin, the Spartans are led by Drew Buchholz, linebacker, running back. So some good talent on both sides of the game here. So with that, I think I'm going to take the Spartans as well. I think it's going to take the Wheelers just a little bit of time maybe to adapt to some of the nuances of the 8-man game, and we certainly know that the Spartans are adept at that.
That's two for the Spartans. Matt, what do you think?
Well, just like Yates said, an interesting matchup with the move down for Audubon. I think Audubon has a few more key playmakers coming back this year. And like Jim said with the little brother, my little brother has yet to take me out or take me on, so I'm going to go with the big brother and go with Audubon.
All right, so that's one for the Wheelers. All right, then I'm going to take a look here at this as well. It's a lot of what Doug said is kind of what I had written down with some of the returners, you know, Reboff, Smith, Josh Lang for Audubon. Those are guys that are going to be their kind of key cogs, and it is an adjustment. Talking to the co-head coach Sean Burks here, he said that, you know, the decision wasn't taken lightly. They knew that it looked like probably for 5-6 years down the road they were still going to fit into that 8-man mold more so with their numbers. So it just made sense to make the move when they did here this time around, and they'll probably stay there for a while. So it'll be interesting to see how they adapt. I really like Drew Buchholz. He does so many things for Xyrie HK, and Coach Peterson gets them ready, it seems like, just every season. And I know they'll have a little extra chip on their shoulder to try to get it done. With him back there, that helps a lot. It's just tough to think that Audubon's going to have that much trouble, because they've had so much success here recently playing at that 11-man level and with so many key cogs. They did lose a lot from last year, but I'm going to go with Matt here. I think the Wheelers might edge one out here in this one, but I expect it to be a really good game and a good one to open up the 8-man season. That's one 8-man game.
And I have a question. Have you and Micah just never disagreed on anything? Because I've seen Micah, and I know what he could do to you.
He's that big brother syndrome, you know? He can't overcome it.
Okay. All right. Just so we're clear on that.
We may get a ruling on that down the road, maybe. Fremont Mills and Lenox, our next 8-man game here on the sheet. A couple of teams that have had their success within the last decade in the 8-man ranks, and this could be another interesting one. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, the Tigers coming off a successful season last year at 10-1. And that's about all I know. So that was one game I didn't get a lot of research on. I couldn't find a lot of information. I have all kinds of really important things to say about every other game, of course. But I'm going to take the home team, the Lenox Tigers.
All right, that's one for Lenox. Matt.
Well, I'm going to this is a tough game. I think I'm going to go with the Fremont Mills on the road. Quite a drive over there to Lenox. But I'm just going to go with the Fremont Mills and put Doug 2 games behind me right out of the gate.
Good start, right? All right. I'm going to also go with the Knights. I think this is another one of those bounce-back years for Fremont Mills. They fought through some injuries last year. They've got Sam Phillips and Mason Venata coming back for them, their top two offensive threats. And Lenox lost their big star, Carson Klein. He did pretty much everything for them out there on the field. They did beat Fremont Mills last year behind Klein, but I think the Knights are going to remember that, and they're going to get one here to open up the season. Jim.
Is he the son of Mr. Coach Klein?
He might be.
He might be. Okay, just wondering.
He's a mud dog.
Fremont Mills. I'm taking Fremont Mills. I just think they have a few more. There's a couple of their impact players, and you mentioned them, were relatively young last year. I think Venata was a freshman.
He was a sophomore. Yeah.
So they've got some kids coming back here this year that I think were impact players last year, and I think will continue to be this year. So.
All right, it's a couple of 8-man games in the books here to get us started. We'll take a quick break and come back and talk some 11-man football coming up here on Who's Gonna Win?
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win as we jump into 11-man football now and a couple of perennial powers squaring off here in week number one. It's a 1AA matchup this time around. Logan Magnolia at St. Albert. Matt, you get first shot here.
Okay, very good. Yeah, a couple of teams here that I haven't played for a couple of years, and previously I think were in the same class and in the same district majority of the time. So they're going to square it up here in week one and get after each other. I think it'll be an interesting ball game, of course. But I think St. Albert, you know, this junior class for them is very large, and a majority of those players have been playing since they were freshmen, and they just keep getting better and better every year. Logan Magnolia, you know, they had a really nice year after their following up from their state championship year 2 years ago. They'll continue to build on that, but I think they got a fair amount of seniors coming back. But I don't, you know, they'll just get it done because that's what Coach Strait and what they've done off of tradition. But they'll have a decent season. But I just think St. Albert's going to have the upper hand on them, especially in week one.
All right, that's one there for the Falcons. I'm going to go, I think, in the opposite direction. I think Logan Magnolia is going to have just enough here to get this one done in the first week. They did lose a big offensive threat in Riley Woolers from their team last year, but they do return some players at the quarterback position, some of those important key positions, as does St. Albert, though, with Luke Waters, who was a really young player that played last year. But I think Logan Magnolia across the board might have enough to eke one out, but it'll be a good game. Jim.
Well, I looked at this as a pretty even matchup between these two teams. Two teams with a lot of success over the years and strong coaching resumes. I just thought that this would be a pretty good matchup early season. But St. Albert's at home. I'm going to go with the Falcons. Toss-up game, just go with the home team.
All right. It's two for the home squad. Doug?
Yeah, Matt mentioned earlier the experience that St. Albert has with those kids that started as – you know, freshmen and sophomores a couple years ago, they were had a tougher season from their standard. So, you know, they're juniors and seniors now, and they've got a lot of experience, and they've got a good quarterback in the Waters kid. So I'm going to take the Falcons at home.
All right, that's three for St. Albert, leaving me hanging out there on a limb. We'll head to another game here. This one is in Class 1A. It is, of course, a non-district game as well, though, to open up the year. And this is another program that gets to combine and move to a different level. ACGC, the Chargers, their first season of football together between the Adair, Casey, and Guthrie Center school districts. They will be on the road against West Central Valley, so not too far down the road for them, a team that they don't normally get to match up against. Neither one of these programs, or any of the three from last year, had much success. Guthrie Center was the only team that actually had some wins last year at 3-6. And they return one key player in Logan Sherman there from that Guthrie Center team that should help out a little bit. But, of course, they are both moving to 11-man as both played 8-man last year. West Central Valley didn't have many wins. They weren't really in a lot of games in last season. And they do return a little bit of experience. This one's hard to judge. You don't know how those two school districts are going to merge together. But I'd like to think that combining their powers, so to speak, they can get a little bit of an edge here. So I'm going to go with the Chargers to get one here in their first ever game.
Their first ever football game. All right. To me, it's easier to pick a tight ball game between two good teams than it is this thing. Because this is a tight game between two teams that I have no idea. You know, and the issue there, too, is when you've got two programs that combine, like a Adair Casey and Guthrie Center, that doesn't necessarily mean automatically all the kids go into the program. Some of them decide they don't want to do that, and they might open and roll somewhere else. So, I mean, how much of that has an effect on the game, too? You know, I'm going to take West Central Valley at home. Don't ask me why, I just am.
Okay, just because.
That's my logic.
Well, I'm sure that this is a game that they look at as, you know, a game to get them off their losing streak. And you know, being an 11-man team, they have, you know, some experience, obviously, doing that versus the two 8-man squads from last year. I do like the fact, you know, Adair Casey and Guthrie Center struggled a bit last year. But, you know, those are two programs historically that have had a lot of success. And I think that, you know, that breeds a little bit of a mindset among the players, you know, that, hey, we saw these kids 5 years ago and when we were little kids, went to the game, and we want to repeat that success. So, and that fact, and it's got to be the coolest school name I've ever heard. I mean, don't you think? ACGC? I mean, that's
what we were begging for.
Pretty cool. So I'm going to take the road team.
All right. That's two for the Chargers. Matt, what do you think?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, we kind of go back to Audubon moving from 11-man to 8-man. I think there's a transition there that takes place, and there's also a transition that takes place from 8-man back up to 11-man. And I think it's a little bit more difficult to go that direction and get used to the field size and back into the swing of things. You know, 8-man, I think, is probably a little more one-on-one happens. You can spread things out. You know, things just kind of happen fast. 11-man can be a little more methodical and whatnot. So I think it'll take a little bit for ACGC to adjust to that. Plus, I think just getting the kids to get along and gel and some of those things with this group, you know, not that the kids are probably aren't. They've probably accepted it, but there's still going to be some adjustment time in here as they get going. So with that, I'm going to go with West Central Valley.
All right, so we split that one down the middle. Moving on to a 1A, 2A matchup. Trainer is on the road at Underwood. And, Jim, you'll get the first crack at this one.
Oh, very good. Well, Underwood had a great season last year. Awesome season last year. Got derailed in the playoffs. That was their only loss of the year. But you know what they did after the game was over? They loaded all their seniors up on the bus, and whoosh, out they went, because they had a ton of seniors on that team last year. I'm going to take Trainer on the road in this one opening up, just because I think Underwood's going to have to fill a whole lot of slots coming back this year. And I just think it's going to take them a little bit of time to get worked in. I think they're going to be a good football team again, but I think it's just going to take a little time here early against a pretty good opponent.
Yeah, should be an interesting matchup. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting district for Underwood to be in. You know, they're really spread out. I mean, they have some closer teams, but they've got to go later in the season up to East Sac County, South Central Calhoun. I mean, talk about a spread out district. That is a lot of travel. But you know, Trainer, I think Jim mentioned the losses from Underwood as far as the experience graduation. I think Trainer had a fair amount of seniors as well last year. According to some of the things I read, Coach Casey feels like they're going to be young but fast and athletic. So that's a nice combination. But I'm going to take Underwood at home.
All right, so that's one for the Eagles. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, it's probably one of the more difficult games on your sheet here to pick this week, just because of that. Both teams did lose quite a bit, and with this being the first week of games, we'll see how they both of them adjust. I think it's going to take a little bit longer for Underwood because they did. It, like Jim said, they literally had a ton of seniors out there, and they did a lot of the work over the last few years for a lot of their different programs. So Trainer, on the other hand, has kind of been building. They have a pretty decent senior class that provides some good leadership. So I think I'm going to go with Trainer out of the gates here.
All right, so that's another one there for the Cardinals. And, yeah, you look at both these two teams, and, of course, Trainer, a team you always expect to be competitive. Underwood had that terrific season last year. I got to watch them in that final game against Hinton, and they just didn't get quite enough offense going in that game. You look at both these teams, and as far as the offensive side of the ball goes,
who knows? They lost everybody. Their production is gone. Nick Peterson did almost everything for Underwood. And then you lost Nolan Chapman, Nate Hill from Trainer last year. Pretty much every top guy at each offensive position is gone. So, yeah, a lot of work for both these two teams to kind of try to reload and rebuild. It'll be interesting for Underwood playing in that 2A ranks there in that awkward district that they are stuck in. This is a really tough one. I think I'm just going to give the edge a little bit to the home team since I think they're both doing a lot of rebuilding. Isaiah Humphrey returns for Underwood, did quite a bit running and receiving, so we'll see if he can kind of lead the charge for him. I'll go with Underwood. All right, that's another game there in 11-man ranks. Let's move on to another 2A, 1A matchup, and this time it's Shenandoah going on the road to AHSTW. These teams have played not too far in the recent past, and AHSTW's actually had some success against some of those 2A schools here the last few years. Doug?
Yeah, you know, historically, Shenandoah's been a little bit down in football, you know, and you think, well, a 2A team coming down and playing a 1A team, you know, in the past probably would have given the Vikings the edge. But I think, you know, the Vikings have lost quite a few starters over the past year. Five of the top six rushers are gone for them. And I'm sure they'll have kids that are going to fill in there. But Shenandoah had a nice season last year, and they've returned 15 seniors to the field tonight. And so I'm going to take the Mustangs.
All right. So that's one for Shenandoah. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, Shenandoah made it to the playoffs last year, so they've got they kind of got over that. It was like a 30-year drought or something like that for them, 30, 40-year, I don't know for sure. But anyway, they made it back to the playoffs last year. HSTW, on the other hand, has been a pretty consistent team that's been in the playoffs, and I don't think you'll see anything change with that this year. Shenandoah lost some productivity in there last year. I think they're going to have their ups and downs, especially once they hit this district that they're up against. So with that, I'm going to go with the home team, HSTW Vikings.
All right, so that's one for the Vikings with Matt here. I think the Vikings have just a little bit more coming back. R.J. Harris is kind of their top returner. He did a little bit of everything last year for the Vikings as far as running and receiving. He even threw a few passes. He may end up being the likely quarterback there for the Vikings this year. Shenandoah lost Jake Johnson, who was a big part of their offensive threat last year. So I like AHSTW to be able to sneak one away here at home. Jim?
You remember what happened last year to AHSTW when Nathan Herbst got hurt?
Yes.
Nothing. No. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. They had a hard time moving the football. They really struggled. I mean, he was so much a part of that offense last year, and it was a real blow to them late in the season to have him go down the way he did. Had a good attitude about it. I mean, as good as you can have, you know, in that situation, but it was tough for that ball club. I think Shenandoah got a little momentum going last year, and I think AHSTW's got a few key spots they got to fill now. So I'm going to go with Doug on this one. I'm going to go with Shenandoah on the road.
All right, so we split that one down the middle as well. We've got a couple other larger class games to talk about, and we'll do that here in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. We've got two more games here on the sheet to pick, and a couple of interesting ones left here for us. As the first one we'll take a look at here is Harlan going up a class to play Lewis Central, 3A, 4A matchup, and two perennially pretty good teams squaring off here in week one. Matt, what do you think?
Well, it'll definitely be a good ball game. You know, I like a lot of these matchups that these teams have taken advantage of in these first couple of weeks that they have these non-district games before they start district play in week three. And a lot of teams, since it doesn't really affect their playoff implications down the road, they are taking advantage of playing some tough teams. And this obviously is going to be one of those games where two good ball clubs are going to go up against each other. Lewis Central are going to be coming off that successful season last year. A lot of that was done with some upperclassmen, though, but make no bones about it, Lewis Central is I think, a team that's going to be here to stay for a while. You know, they got Max Dugan in there last year at quarterback as a freshman, and they just kind of eased him in, put him in situations where he could be successful. And this year it'll pretty much be his to take control of. And, you know, you're talking about a kid who's been around the game of football since he's been in diapers. So, you know, he knows the game. He's going to be able to be out there on the field and know exactly what's going on, what plays are going to work and whatnot. On defense, you know, they're going to have some good size and be very aggressive on there. So Harlan, on the other hand, they lost a lot of seniors, you know, kind of like what we've talked about with some of these other teams in here. So they've got a lot of holes to replace, especially at some of their leadership positions. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of develops as the season goes on. So with that said, I think, you know, out of the gates here, I think Lewis Central is going to have the upper hand.
All right, that's one for the Titans. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Harlan does. You know, every year it seems like they find the guys to fill the roles and they just can keep continuing to have success. But it does sound like a bit of a change of philosophy back once again to kind of keeping the ball on the ground, because they lost Kyle Jewell, not going to have somebody that can really just sling it around for him this year. They'll go to more of a traditional style offense, it sounds like. The guy that they had in the backfield the most sounds like he's going to play defense and not offense much at all, and Nick Tarney. So that'll be interesting to see how they kind of fill that void. But yeah, Lewis Central, it sounds like the program has kind of gained their footing there in 4A. You knew it was going to be tough for them when they started to end up in 4A and in some of those tougher districts playing tougher teams, but it usually makes you better a few years down the road. So I like what Lewis Central has going, and I think, kind of like what Matt said, a little more stability here in week one for them. So I'll go with Lewis Central. Jim?
Yeah, you know, Matt stole all the important points there early on. the Dugan kid, yeah, he did. He got a lot of opportunity, important opportunity last year, and he knows it's his, he's got the keys to the Buick now. It's his chance to go out and have a good time. So, and he's got 3 years to have fun. He's just a sophomore this year. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a much bigger advantage for Lewis Central. When you look at the other side, Kyle Jewell was such a big part of that offense, making it run at quarterback, and then he's gone. Now you've got to fill that spot. So I think Lewis Central did it in a way last year that's really going to help them early this season and to be able to mesh together. So I like the Titans.
That's another one there for Lewis Central. Is it a sweep, Doug?
Well, I'll tell you what, LC, the last couple of years when I've seen them play, boy, they passed the eye test. I mean, they've got some size, they're fast. I mean, they play a good brand of football. You know, Harlan, as you said, is kind of switching around a little bit, their philosophy, not going to sling the ball around as much, maybe go back to that running game that, you know, they always used to have those kids that they seemed so big when you were playing them on the field, and then you saw them out of pads later, you know, a couple years later, and they were 150 pounds, but they were running behind that line, and they ran hard and ran with an attitude, and you know, that's something that they're going to feature this year. Their offensive line, all their starters are at least 240 pounds, apparently, according to Coach Blatt, so, you know, nice size on their line, and I kind of like that idea of running the ball and getting back to that Harlan type of football, and so I'm going to take the visit. Visiting Harlan Cyclones.
All right.
And not feel bad about it.
Yeah, usually pretty rare when we have a sweep against the Cyclones, so you went ahead and threw one in there for them. So got one there for Harlan and three for Lewis Central. Move on to our last game here on the sheet. Atlantic opening up a new era, so to speak, with Mike McDermott at the head coaching position now after spending some time at different roles with the program here throughout his time in Atlantic. And they get to take on a 2A school here in week one, but a very tough one that they've had trouble with here the last few seasons in Clarinda. and they get to start things out. So I guess I get a first look here at this one. It was a 34-14 game last year for Clarinda to win that one, but they do lose quite a bit from that offense last year. Of course, it's a unique style that they like to play. It's kind of tough to get a handle on that offense sometimes with everybody spinning and moving all over the place, keeping it on the ground. But they got a couple of guys back that that carry the ball a little bit, so that'll help them, but I think Atlantic's got some things moving in the right direction. They've got some new faces back into the program. It sounds like Garrett Franken will likely end up as the starting quarterback. Jackson Eden's probably going to get more time at the running back position rather than quarterback here this year. And got a couple of guys up front that'll kind of be stalwarts that are back, Zach Stork, John McConkey. And I think the skill positions they'll be fine at. That'll be okay on the outside for Atlantic. It's just a matter if you're going to have that enough depth inside and enough toughness on defense. That's going to be their issues here through the season. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt here in this one with Clarinda losing some players from last year and give Atlantic a chance to pick one up here at home to start the season. Jim.
Right. Very good. Was it true that Atlantic set a record, an all-time record last year for most bags of ice used? I mean, we had everybody injured, it seemed like, at one point or another. I mean, it seemed like half the roster was banged up. I mean, it was a tough year all the way around. They were young to begin with and then banged up, and then they got even younger as the season went on. But, you know, that was in the past, and they've learned from that. They've grown from that. I hope they're all healed up now and healthy and ready to go. With this game, Clarinda, the confounding thing is, yeah, that spinner back offense is figuring that thing out. But we watched that very first game that they, when they brought their new coach in with that offense down there a few years back when they played Atlantic in the opener, and they were running into one another. They weren't clear on what they were doing. And they got a bunch of new guys running this offense now, so I'm kind of hoping for some of that to happen and Atlantic to take advantage of some of those things. Atlantic needs to have, after last season, they need to have a good start to this season to really continue to build on what they have. I like their chances tonight.
All right, that's two for the Trojans. Doug?
Yeah, I remember the Clarinda game last year, season opener, and boy, they were athletic and ran the ball hard, and several of those kids did graduate. They do have a running back returning, though, who will be a senior this year, who had over 100 yards rushing against Atlantic and 3 touchdowns. So they do have some experience coming back. But, you know, Atlantic, I mean, everybody that's listening to the program knows, or the radio show tonight, knows that we suffered with low numbers last year and injuries, as Jim mentioned, and certainly took our lumps throughout the year. But, you know, there's a good core group of kids back, and then we've got some more kids that have decided to come out and play this year too. So I think that depth-wise, I don't think we're going to have to be fighting some of those things that we did last year. You know, we had a good core group of kids that played last year, but, you know, you it's tough to play both ways a whole game, and you need a little break here and there and a breather every once in a while. So I think with the added numbers, we're going to be able to have that this year. And I'm excited about Trojan football this year, and I'm going to take Atlantic.
All right, that's three for Atlantic. Matt, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Atlantic as well. You guys kind of hit all the points there. Coming back this year, Clarinda, they virtually returned no offense, you know, as far as rushing numbers for them. So I think they will suffer quite a bit. Their win against Atlantic last year in the opening game was probably the highlight of last season. They kind of digressed as the season went about. And if you even look at last year when Atlantic played them, that second half was a much competitive ball game. I think it kind of figured it out there. So I think they'll come back. Preparation wise, I think the team will be very prepared for this. And I think the kids are very eager to get on the field and kind of start over and start anew. So if you will. So I think the kids are very excited. The staff is. So it's going to be a good opening night, I think, for the Trojans.
All right, we hope we see some good things there from the Trojans, and that's a sweep here in our picks. It's going to wrap up week number one here of Who's Going to Win. Thanks for joining us. We've got high school football coming up for you here shortly, as Jim will be along with myself, as we'll be up in Exira, as Exira EHK plays host to Audubon there in that 8-man football contest. So we hope you stay tuned for that. And once again, thanks for joining us here for the program tonight. For Matt Mullenix, Doug Leonard, Jim Field, I'm Chris Parks. Thanks for joining us for Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.